Welcome to the original Freemasons podcast, broadcasting from Waterbury, Connecticut, USA. Follow us on your favorite podcast app or join us live on YouTube. And as always, leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
Freemasons podcast with your host, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
Worshipful Brother Ken.
Worshipful Brother Joe Bazzani.
We're all up here, and it's music, Masons, and mayhem. I don't know what the mayhem part is. That's what I'm really looking for.
Mayhem is the reason I'm wearing glasses this morning. I was chipping off them rough corners of my Astro last night.
That's right.
I was in New York with my daughter at a basketball game. She's going to Hofstra University, so they're having a basketball game.
That's a good school.
Nice.
And went in there. They were serving beer and all that stuff, and I'm like, nah, I'm from Connecticut, driving through New York.
Yeah, bad combination.
I think I'm going to pass on this one. So I stuck with a pretzel and soda.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's all I did.
You guys were being children of God. I was drinking bourbon.
I was with my kids, too, and my daughter's boyfriend. So it's like,
yeah.
I don't want to do that shit.
It's a bad look.
Make him drive. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, no. Good morning, everyone, for tuning in and everything. Wow. What the hell does that say?
A lot of activity.
Good morning, gents. That's not what I thought it said from here. Again, I have a hard time. I thought it was genitalia. I'm like, Jesus, like... You're coming in hot.
Morning, genitalia.
There we go. Good afternoon, brothers from Jesus. Joe or Ken, you're
going to have to Savichal Lodge.
Savichal Lodge, 5799 in England.
You do the English ones. I'll do the Italian ones.
Yeah, I can't see that far. My eyes don't work that well.
Welcome, brothers. They do, but welcome.
It's this freaking fluorescent lighting, too, is playing games.
Yeah, we are going to be swapping this out soon.
I think we put in disco ball and black lights. We'll get this party started.
We've got a lighting designer who's a member of the lodge, so hopefully we can get this squared away soon. Still kind of looks like a boardroom, unfortunately, with these floros.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, listen. It's a freaking badass room.
Yep. We turned the lights off over me explicitly because otherwise I'd just...
The musket on the wall up there, that does it.
Yeah, the musket.
That's it for me.
Ties the room.
That ties the whole freaking room. But anyway, Joe, welcome up, man.
Good to see you.
So you reached out to me Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know, the day's blur. But he was like, "Hey, man, I want to talk about some stuff that helped my Masonic career, or basically things that I can't remember exactly what the wording was."
I think just the Masonic experience in general, because a lot of people that I talk with that aren't Masons, they kind of, they understand the overall concept of the structure of the fraternity, but, I think most people ask, especially when they see the ad campaigns making good men better and, that kind of whole aspect of it. But they're like, well, how did that pertain to you? So I figured maybe it's a good topic we could touch on today.
Yeah.
About our own personal experiences,
Right.
How Masonry kind of helps shape your overall artwork, outlook and philosophy.
Yeah, we were talking at Lodge on a couple of occasions. We were talking about the fact that ad campaign has snippets in those videos of like men doing different things. And Joe's like,
"There's a spy."
That's all of us. Like one guy's boxing.
That was too much, dude. Yeah. They definitely ripped us off.
Yeah,
it was very weird. They had like. We started a chess league here. They had like guys playing chess, and they had like a guy in the dyslexia center. And I was like that's
Joe's not like next what door. The hell.
And they had like a Kirkland brand version of a boxer, kind of like looked like me. And I was like, what the hell is this?
Kirkland brand. All right, so then here's what you have to do then. All right.
Yeah.
Being that they, we're gonna go with the theory that the Scottish Rite copied you guys.
This was Grand Lodge. This wasn't Scottish Rite's video.
No, Grand Lodge? That originally Northern Masonic jurisdiction came up with the original campaign.
Yeah, but
some of the videos might be new. Yeah.
Like I told you, it wasn't just clips; they were speaking.
Oh, really?
This was a new video. Yeah.
No.
And their link is bad because when I tried to share it, nobody could send it. So I took screenshots and sent it to everybody. I was like, "Look at this shit, dude! You're never gonna believe this."
So here's what you got to do. Now we got to rent a goat and just ride it through the room.
See if that ends up on there.
I always thought it'd be freaking great if you know. Again, we kind of talked about it, not so much. I don't know if I touched on it the last podcast, but. I think they should do, I mean, comedies, everybody loves comedy, right? Everybody, like, granted, you're also going to get your haters or your trolls that are like, breaking balls. But I always thought Mason should do, like, a funny video. As a matter of fact, I wanted to, and I think it got shut down generically across the board by our HR department, Rafferty, you, Joe. But what I wanted to do was do like a whole funny video of like, you know, basically me narrating and be like, oh, join the Masons. So we don't celebrate the devil or whatever. And then have like Worship Brother Phil dressed up as Baphomet wearing diapers walking around. Right. And then be like, yeah, we don't do any crazy stuff like, you know, bury children under our basement. Like, remember the conspiracy theorist lady said?
Yep.
And then like have like, you know, Worship Brother Ken, like, down in the basement. They're like, what are you doing, Ken? Oh, just digging a hole. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, poke fun at all the shit. You know, just walking a goat through the freaking room. All the shit that they accuse us of doing. Like, poke fun back at them.
Yeah.
And people will be like, that was fucking genius. Like, that was the best shit you could have done.
Because everyone will say that except for Grand Lodge.
That's the problem. But come on. Like, tell me that wouldn't be freaking... That would be, for me... That would be it. I'd be like, I'm joining. That's hilarious. I'm joining. Yeah. Just based off of the comedy factor of it. Like, these guys are normal guys that have no problem. A, they're not stuck up old men and they love poking fun at themselves.
Yeah.
And two, they're trolling the fucking trolls. Like, I think it would be perfect. That would be hilarious to do something like that.
You know I'm in.
I know, yeah. Yeah, Joe's already.
I got one. That's one.
I'll consider it.
Joe.
Yeah, you guys go ahead and...
But I think, come on, tell me that wouldn't be a huge draw.
Yeah, I mean, I would laugh at it for sure.
I mean, I think it'd be freaking hilarious.
Yeah, I think the only issue you're going to have is with Grand Lodge and powers that be.
I'll talk to Shane.
But you know what? There are people who say that we shouldn't, you know, do a podcast about Freemasonry at all.
I think they should do a keg stand. I think that'd solve everyone's problem.
Yeah.
Grandmaster's keg stand.
Could you imagine? could you imagine me going up to Shane Dufresne and just being like, hey, who's Right Worshipful Grand...
Senior Warden.
Just be like, hey, I got this idea. Hear my pitch. And then it's like, fast forward to the end of it. Be like, so what do you think? He's like, get the fuck out right now.
Like a slap,
He gone from my sight.
He is the man, but he don't want no problems.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He's got enough he's got to deal with. He doesn't want to have...
Always stopping George's creativity. Thank you, Jim Devaney.
I do.
Thank you.
Consistently stifle his creativity.
You know what? I'm giving him moderator to the Discord now.
Don't you dare.
What? I'm giving him moderator. He's going to be allowed to do whatever the hell he wants now. Just start, you back me up right there.
He will burn that thing down.
Bong James Bong.
I want to try some Master clever. Mason whiskey from California Grand Lodge, around $80 a pop.
Woo.
Mm.
A Venmo, you send us a bottle.
Yeah.
Get yourself one.
I think we had a little bit of that. We were at the Widow's Sons Clubhouse, and they had a bottle.
No, that was from Pennsylvania. That was Franklin's batch.
Yeah.
All right, so we don't have any new Apple subscribers, so you just want to toast each other?
I think it's time talking about whiskey.
Toast each other.
Oh, and James Devaney. Thank you. You know what? We're going to toast him as well. You know why? Because he backed me up with my creativity. There is no end to my creativity. Speaking of which, after we do this toast, I got another creativity thing that I did.
Oh, God. to Jim Devaney, he is his brother's keeper.
Brethren, right hand arms.
To arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim. Fire. Good fire. Fire all. Together, brothers.
Yep. Hold on.
We do it a little differently, Joe. We do it a little differently. Together. Viva! 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 Nice. All right, so you want to hear my other creativity idea? I may have commissioned Alex DeFranzo for some artwork.
Nice. We commission him for artwork all the time.
No. Not personal artwork. Oh, okay. It has to do with the podcast. So, you ever seen, I want you to, right now, if you're listening or you're watching, I want you to Google search Star Wars A New Hope artwork.
Okay.
But here's what we're doing.
Specific.
Right? Yeah, I'm very specific. Can't talk. Hold on. I'm going to show you, Kenny. And then I'll show Joe. So you guys can get the full understanding of the image that I'm portraying here. This image, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the original.
That's the original artwork, right? I know you can't see
poster,
it on.
Poster art from A New Hope. So
yeah. So it's the original poster art.
You know,
from,
it's got like a not.
It's got Mark Luke
Hamill looking Luke Skywalker, yes, with the lightsaber up in the air, and there's, yep, like a lens flare on. Yeah.
So it's basically,
use your imagination.
It's they're standing on a hill, right? You got Luke Skywalker holding up the
laser sword,
lightsaber, right, over his head. Yep. You got Leia to his right, and then you got some droids over to your left, right?
Yeah.
So my idea, which I am commissioning Alex to do, it's already in.
Oh, I know where this is headed.
Come on, tell me your idea. Tell me what you're thinking.
You're going to do a podcast promo, yep, movie poster with, yep, all of us in those same poses. But,
okay. No. Similar. Okay. So I will be where the position of Luke Skywalker is, except my arms are going to be out like this, as in when Xerxes greeted Leonidas.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? And I'm going to be looking like Xerxes. All right. Joe's going to be on the right.
Look, dress up like Xerxes.
Hold on. Joe's going to be on the right looking like Obi-Wan Kenobi. And okay, I got you a C-3PO.
Don't you?
No, it's done. Oh, it's already done. I made the phone call. I already sent the image. It's done. It's what it is.
I hate you. Why do I always have to be the right?
Technology.
I could make you as an elemental. And
I feel like I'm typecast. Yeah, I don't want to be transparent.
I can make you
C-3PO. It's fine.
I can make you the elemental in freaking Chronicles of Riddick. You'll be right.
No.
It'll be fine. What do you want?
I'll let you choose. I'll be the robot.
Are you sure?
It's fine. Yeah. You sure? Make me the damn droid.
I like the elemental idea better now. Maybe I'm going to call him back.
Is this the mayhem that we spoke of?
James Devaney. There you go. There's my other evil genius idea.
I can't see it.
Take the fifth on the mayhem.
Almost drove
down.
Viva. Ah.
Well,
you should come visit, Jim.
May the craft be with you. LES, Scott Blanchard.
Beautiful. Yeah, I got to come up with a creative tagline for that artwork.
I'm not sure. Dressing your ass as Xerxes. Yes, you are.
Man.
Yes, you are. You want to know why? Because it's not the lash he fears, it's my divine bow. I love that line. It's like the best line in any movie.
I know.
Right next to, I got the need. I got it. Here we go. I am not going to dress you as C-3PO, and I'm not going to dress you as an elemental.
Oh.
I'm going to make you Iceman from Top Gun. Because you always wear bomber jacket with the aviators.
That's true. I'm in.
Done.
I'm in. I can quote that movie all day.
I'm going to text Alex right now, so carry on real quick.
All right, cool. I like it. I'll deal with that. So, Joe, what else is new with you?
You know, same old shenanigans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Getting back into music.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's always kind of floated around. You know, I did film work in the past and kind of had my hands in all other kinds of shit.
But I didn't know you were that good of a guitar player until you started playing again recently. And I was like, oh, holy crap, man.
I'm a writer. I'm not the best guitar player. I could play rhythm guitar. Yeah. I'm self-taught, but I've always been a writer, you know, and even since I was young, I always messed around with everything, poetry, and I did screenwriting. You mm-hmm. know, made a slasher film, shit, like 12 years ago now, probably.
And I remember
it was right that. About the time when we first joined, getting into masonry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I started filming in 2010, and I think we took our MM in 2012, so that was right around the time.
Yeah, I think it was like August. August or September of 2012.
September, I think. Yeah, it was right around the time I finished the principal photography and all that. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved music. Everybody loves music. That's
An artist, you know, by nature.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely an artist by nature.
Well, music is one of the seven liberal arts and sciences that is revered by Masons.
I think it's interesting because harmony, you know, it's the entire integral structure of your universe, and that's what music is harmony, you know.
And that is what's important to Masonry
and also
our lodge rooms.
Hey, get rhythm.
Yeah. And then you've got the opposite of harmony, which is discord.
Yeah. And they go side by side, you know. What did you know, Jordan Peterson? What did he say? Artists continually mold chaos back into order.
Yeah,
Jordan Peterson, isn't he the one that hacked up his wife?
No.
Scott Peterson. Sorry,
yeah,
Jordan
Peterson's the psychologist. He's he's like the only quasi conservative level-headed psychologist
out there. Yeah,
you know, only one that makes any kind of sense on a regular basis. And they all hate him. The Canadians want to chop him to pieces.
What? Why?
Because he speaks the truth, man. He doesn't buy into any of the propaganda or the bullshit.
Canadians are nice. They don't do that shit.
Generally, Canadians.
Just because you're nice doesn't mean that you're correct or you're a good person. Yeah. You know, just means you're good at faking it. I think some of the best people I know are badasses, but they got.
When did you start the guitar?
Hearts. I got good hearts. Yeah,
I've been playing guitar since probably I was about 7 or 8 years old. I took lessons for like a year. I think I was 8 years old.
I couldn't really
learn because I was dysfunctional and dyslexic as all hell.
Oh, really?
But I always liked it. I kind of just talked. I've never
learned all kinds of stuff about you, Joe. I thought I knew you.
I mean, yeah, you'd be surprised because I could read and write so well, but I couldn't do that till about fourth grade. But
really?
I was never diagnosed, but. It's actually, once I became a Mason, we got involved with the Learning Center. I was like, holy shit, that's what this next is. I have that.
Yeah.
I was like, that's me, dude.
And you could have gone to that center for free, too.
If you ever look at my writing, everything's scratched out and rewritten because I'll write shit backwards or I'll miss a letter. And
wow.
Yeah, that's why I'm really bad with math, believe it or not. I found out that there's a specific type of dyslexia that's you're screwed up with numbers.
Yeah, so numerals get, like, reversed.
Go figure, you know?
Wow.
But I know a lot of dyslexic people that are really smart. They just got, you know.
Oh, yeah. It has nothing to do with intellect at all.
I couldn't do good at school.
I'm more on the intellectual end. I have to pull my pants down to count to 10.5.
Regular Socrates. No,
you can't read and write, but that's for other reasons. It's not because you have dyslexia.
Shut up. It's all foreign. It's foreign names and stuff like
that. You'd be surprised. Oh,
yeah. And it's every time we do like an episode of like we're talking about something that happened in freaking Spain or Portugal, and it's like,
and you're like, and then can read it.
Pretty much. What's that word?
Yeah.
And you're like, Santa Ana? I'm like, oh, that's it? Oh, all right.
We can't even pronounce some of our listeners' names and stuff. No. Like anybody that's outside of this country, forget it.
Alex DeFranzo, he can read the crayon colors.
Listen, read your text message and do as I ask, goddammit.
DeFranzo.
We're getting paid.
We gave you a shout out a minute ago, Alex. I don't know when you.
Big shout out to DeFranzo because he really boosted me to go further into music, you know. I really respect him as an artist, dude. I think he's an authority.
He is a great artist, yeah.
And he told me, he said, you're a musician at heart. That's what you got to pursue. Because I do all kinds of mediums, you know. I do all kinds of weird shit. I'm painting. And I like film and, you know.
Photography?
Photography, of course. Yeah. Everybody knows about my photography.
Yep.
You know?
See, here's the problem with Alex, though. He's so smart, right? And I take this as a compliment. Alex is freaking intelligent as shit. Mm-hmm. He gets very deep on a lot of his esoteric stuff. He gets deep, and I'm like, dude, you lost me on the freaking on-ramp. He's so smart. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he has, like, human body parts in his
me and him went down a hell of a rabbit hole one night.
Psychopaths.
To, like, 4 in the morning on esoteric stuff. And
Well, he actually, I'll give him a shout-out. The Harmony Esoteric Club meets, the first Sunday? Is it the first Sunday of every month?
First Sunday
of
every month, man. Yeah. Great,
and he leads that group. Like that's Alex's thing, and he always has
his niche for Masonry. That's what I said.
He's the authority. That's why we call him the alchemist.
Yep, he is the alchemist.
He really is an alchemist.
Oh, is that what you call him? Yep. I to think
we call him many things.
But alchemist.
I got another A word that I call him, but I mean,
oh god.
What the hell was I going to say? I was going to say something a minute ago. God damn it. Lost my train of thought.
Yeah, the scotch probably.
He gave you a tattoo in the lodge, right?
He gave me multiple tattoos. Yeah, yeah. He gave me a tattoo in the lodge, at the house. This is during COVID, so, I mean, listen, hey, man's got to eat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't really like me talking about that, but I do it anyway because that's some gangster shit to have a good friend and brother come over and be like, yeah, I'll do it right in your kitchen. Like, okay.
He watched me tattoo myself one night. He's like, what are you doing, man? And I was like, it's all right.
I got a nice one from him a while back. I don't think I ever talked about this, but on my Mason ring finger, under my ring, I've got a point within the circle. Yeah, exactly. That's an Alex DeFranzo original, and it's... beautiful.
He's the best, man. Big shout out to Alex, dude. He really fantastic. One of the most talented dudes I've ever met. Absolutely.
Sacred Art Tattoo in Seymour.
Yeah.
He does some good shit. If you live in Connecticut, go there.
Or even if you don't, make the trip.
I don't go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. He's my guy when I get the money.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, he ain't cheap.
No.
And he shouldn't be cheap. He
shouldn't be cheap. When you do good work,
pay him in sexual favors if you're any good.
Jesus Christ. Now we're going to have like a plethora of people just showing up buck ass naked to his freaking tattoo parlor. He's like, oh Christ, you guys listen to the podcast, don't you?
Yeah. It's all your
fault. Don't do that. Don't do that. You will get arrested.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Yep. I'll get us banned off YouTube.
I'm not going to lie, though. That'd be funny as hell, though.
Well, we're already getting banned from YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Oh, at some point. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. What the hell did he say? No, he just knows them by flavor. Oh, the crayons we're talking about. Yeah. Yes, my crayons. Yeah,
they've got their own little conversation going there.
Go for it. Have your own side conversation.
Listen, you eat more wax when you buy apples, dude. I don't want to hear it.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, let's talk. You were talking about... I gotta read the text.
Have more scotch, man. That's what it is.
You need more scotch.
You need a lubricant.
I lose my freaking train of thought on a regular. Ken will tell you.
Sunday morning.
You know, I'll cover for George here. So, how has Freemasonry improved your life?
That's
in
what
general?
He was. There we go.
So, there's one.
That's what the text was. It says, talk about positive impact that Freemasonry has had on his life personally.
Yeah. Okay. Real so, tape. I think there's one phrase that you hear continuously in Freemasonry that's so important. That really hit me to my core, and that's to learn to subdue your passions.
You know?
So I've always been a passionate person. There's a lot of passionate people out there, and it's hard to regulate that. And, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, and it's important to be passionate.
So let's talk about that real quick. Let's go into the different types. So what does it mean by subdue your passions? Because nobody really knows what the hell that means. Some people think, oh, subdue my passions means I can't just boink anybody I want. That's not what that means. It's
broader than that.
It's broader than that. Yeah. Let's talk about that. What are the passions exactly that you need to subdue?
I think it's...
It could be
it's
alcohol.
Not subdue. It's important to distinguish the difference between subdue and suppress, you know?
Right, right.
And there's an application for it. All right, you're a Marine. Mm-hmm. When you're shooting, you just spray and pray or you pick your shots?
Depends on what I'm shooting.
Well, George is probably not the best one to ask.
M249 saw, I'm spraying.
In the moment, you're passionate about it, but there's a technique and a tactic to everything, and I think you can apply that to anything in life.
Correct.
And I think that's what Masonry really tries to teach with the allegories and with the overall message. Just don't be any less passionate, but learn the proper applications.
Mm-hmm. In the proper time and place.
The proper timing. And I think it gives a space to men to be able to, you know, really hone in on that and get the practice and get the experience with it. I mean, even things like public speaking. You know, a lot of people have problems with public speaking. You come into a lodge, every man has one vote, every man has an equal say, and you all have the right to speak during a meeting. And
unless the master tells you to sit down and shut up.
Unless the master, but, you know, I've always
but in general, we're
all
seen
that a couple times, you know, but in general, and then once you become an officer, if you have any kind of position, you're obligated to speak publicly, and you might be in a room with 100 guys, you know, and all eyes are on you, and you kind of learn to develop those skills, and I could see, you know, even myself, but I especially see other brothers, they progress. The more time that they spend in Masonry, the better they become at public speaking and the better they are at articulating their thoughts and ideas.
Yep.
And none of this stuff is written. You're in essentially a board meeting and you got to just speak from the heart.
Yeah. Right. And nobody tells you this ahead of time either, right? It's like sometimes it's baked into some of our lectures and stuff like, hey, yeah, you'll get better at rhetoric and you'll get better.
I mean,
nobody ever like thinks about that until, like I didn't for sure, until I went to the officer's chairs. And then I was like, you know what? I'm a lot better at my job. I can get in front of people and start speaking because of Masonry.
So when you're speaking passionately, and you're speaking passionately in a formal environment like that, I can't. You can't talk the way you would talk, you know.
Right
on the in a bar, in a bar, street. Yeah. You got to talk like you're a Mason. You got to talk like you're professional, and you got to carry yourself with respect and dignity. And that's kind of something that a lot of people don't naturally know how to switch between. You know, but you learn that. You learn that, and you learn it from the other brothers. You know, I think. There's one line in the Bible that we actually don't really hear in Masonry, but I think it really pertains to our whole society. Is in Proverbs, is one man as one as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
That quote.
I love that quote because I think that fundamentally is Masonry. You know, you have a huge network of mentors and just other men to learn from and share experiences with. And I think that's so important, especially in this day and age.
Yeah. Where else in the world can you find that?
You can't really. Nowadays. I mean, there's certain small places, but on a grand scale, like we have an international fraternity, you know, where we can go into any country or any state and you walk into a lodge room and you're a brother and you have, maybe you can't vote in someone else's lodge, but they value your input and opinion.
Yep.
You know,
and they welcome you.
I mean, that's basically the position of a district deputy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, you're basically describing a position of a district deputy, because district deputy comes into a lodge to visit on a fraternal visit, doesn't have the right to vote. But let me tell you, man, they're picking your freaking brain about everything. Like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about this? And again, I have more of an eccentric type of view on things where I think outside the box. you know, part of the, so let me also add to that. So one of my biggest things that I sucked bad at in Freemasonry was public speaking. When I first came in, let's put it this way.
Well,
this
everybody sucks at everything the first time they do
this. This podcast would have never happened when I first came into Freemasonry because I was scared to death to talk in front of people. And you know what broke me of that? Scottish Rite. When I had to do a play and act and actually show emotion and play a character. And what's the 15th degree where they're at the table?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're not Scottish Rite?
That's great.
He is.
You could leave.
Kevin refuses.
That was my guy, right? Wine is the most powerful and has the most sway over
me. I mean, what a great degree.
And I had to. It's a fantastic
degree. I still think women's the problem. But
that was my character. But now, like, I can't just be like, wine is the most powerful.
You have to perform.
You have to play a character, right? So, now, you know, I know we bust my balls about me not being able to speak. But now, you have to learn a ritual, number one, which is extremely difficult to learn, right? To memorize stuff. It's extremely difficult.
Yeah, it's not easy.
But now you have to act it, and you have to act it in front of people.
Yep. And that's the next level of ritual is being able to perform it. Not only perform it, but get the emotion across to your candidate or whoever you're performing for.
Now, my thing has always been baptism by fire.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of that, jump right into it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get right into it. Take the largest part. And just do it. Because now everything else downstream is going to be nothing.
Follow your guide and fear no danger.
Yeah.
I mean sometimes you don't even got a guide. Sometimes you just got to cowboy up and do what you're... I almost said something else. But, like, you know,
anyway.
Cowboy up and just jump into it. You don't need a guide. Just jump with both, you know.
You know, the
jump blindfolded.
The ritual parts that I like the best and that I think I'm the best at delivering are the ones where the master came to me 2 weeks before the degree and was like, I need you to learn this.
You work better under pressure.
Under pressure.
That's absolutely that fire is what drives me, actually, when I'm learning ritual. So I can totally relate.
The Invisible Man in Black. What's up, brothers? I hope all is well. Good as it can be. We got a guitar. We got whiskey.
Yeah, all is well. Oh, Grand Lodge in New York?
Yep. John Philip Sousa, 1192. By the way, you brothers would have enjoyed the beefsteak festive board at Mariner's Lodge 67 last night.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I was with my daughter in New York, but it was not, unfortunately, at... a table or a festive board. Boo.
Love a good festive board.
To go. But yeah, I had to do dad duty. So,
well, yeah, it's part of life, man.
So anyway, so doing your passions. That's what your, that's.
I think it's an important part of perfecting your Ashler, you know? Passions, they have the potential to do great things or destroy you, like anything else, you know, in the heat of the moment.
So how has masonry taught you to subdue them?
Well, you have a network that holds you accountable. If you fuck up, you're not just letting yourself down. You're letting down a lot of people that care about you. And, I think that there's just so many different personalities and people from different walks of life in masonry that you can always find somebody to relate to and someone that shared some kind of similar experience with you. And I think that that's the beautiful part of it. It's not just you have to be this certain type of person or from this certain, you know, sect of society or make this much money. It's everybody. I mean, you name it. There's a brother Mason that's from every walk of life, you know, every different profession.
Adding to that, the funny thing is there are people that you would pass in the street and be like, we got absolutely nothing in common.
Yeah.
But then you get to a Masonic lodge and you see that same person and you find out how much you actually have in common with that person.
And even if you don't, it's that diversity of experience.
That that's what I was just going to say. Right? Sometimes they might have a completely different brain thought of yours, right? But then you sit there and you're like,
brain thought.
Well, I'm a frame of mind, whatever. You might have a different frame of mind, right? You're really going to fucking start this shit? I will make your ass a fucking elemental. I swear to God, I'll make you an elemental.
I'll be good.
I do not one fuck will be given. I'll make you an elemental. Anyway, but you have a different train of thought than somebody else.
Yes, yep.
And you hear their perspective and you're like, well, I'll be damned. That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, wow, I actually had one of these experiences, and I don't want to get political, so I'm like, but it was a guy that I work with the Marshals, and I was explaining my train of thought in a political sense about things, and he was like, holy shit, I never even thought of it like that.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to talk about it out of here.
It's a forum where you can openly discuss different ideas, and that's why subduing your passions is important, because there has to be a certain level of respect. And you know, that's the common platform where that's the only way you can truly learn. You know,
if you're closed-minded, you're,
especially today, everybody's at each other's throats. They want to kick each other's ass.
Well, that's the part of masonry that's nice, is because you ain't gonna do that shit in one of these lodges.
It's forbidden, and everybody understands that. I mean, the accountability is your own reputation. If you make an ass of yourself in lodge, you're going to go home with your conscience and say, wow, you know, I'm part of this beautiful thing with all these respectable people. And I made a fool of myself because I couldn't control my emotions, you know, and that's important. And it's something that's on the regular. You mean, you know, everybody knows you get as much as you give. You can be as active as you choose to in masonry.
Yep.
I think a lot of people choose to be active because it's such a good thing and it's very rewarding. It's a very rewarding experience.
The other thing is, if adding to that, I'm not going to say it doesn't happen in Masonic lodges. There are Masonic lodges where you bang heads, right?
You have men, right? You know,
we're going to disagree.
But the difference is, the one thing I did learn to do is to walk away.
Subdue those passions, man. Yep.
Walk away. And that's something I've never been able to do, was able to walk away without ripping somebody's fucking head
off. You're in general, like, by default, you're kind of a hothead.
Yeah, oh yeah,
100%. And it shows every once in a while.
Every once in a while, I get freaking tuned up.
You can also see when George turns it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest thing is I go dead silent. I shut up. Yep. Because I know the next step is for me to flip my entire fuck.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to a point now in my life. Again, I'm also older, right? I'm 41, right? So I'm not my 23-year-old self. My 23-year-old self would have just lost his shit, right?
Yeah, I think we can relate to that.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're younger,
sometimes you gotta lose your shit, man. Sometimes you gotta lose your shit. We're still
don't
mad.
Get me wrong.
Yeah. You know?
I do have a breaking point, but let's put it this way. Like, I have a fast fuse. I have a fast burn, long fuse.
Yeah.
Right, so, whereas before, it was short fuse, fast burn. Boom! I was over the edge. Now, I've kind of learned to...
You think masonry's had a part in that?
100%. 100%, because there's a part of that I've learned that I've taken a step back, right? Where I realize this is the game I play, okay? Is this going to matter to me in a week? Is it going to matter to me in a month? Is it going to matter to me in 5 years? If none of that matters, I'm not even going to address the fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk away. I'm going to say, you know what? Ain't worth it.
And you just because straight up can't behave that way in a lodge room. So, correct. Like, you already have to.
Well, I'm talking about not even in a lodge room. I apply this now to the outside world.
That's what happens. You know what starts in the lodge will carry into the rest of your the rest of your life, you know?
I mean, everybody meets their boiling point, right? Everybody lets shit get to the better of them. There's only so much somebody can take.
We're human beings, man. That's part of being normal.
But,
you know,
again, the trick is if you can at least prolong it or extend it.
Or be conscious.
You're subduing your passion in a sense.
Yeah. That's perfecting your Ashler, you know?
Right.
Little by little. You can't, that's the cool thing about the allegory. If you ever worked with stone or something like that, you can't just hack away, you know, frivolously, or you're going to screw up the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Right. So you got to go a little piece at a time, and it takes a long time, and that's what a lifetime is. You just try to become a better man. You know, sometimes we all take a couple steps backwards. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable.
I mean,
I don't think there's anybody who doesn't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right in our ritual, if you really think about it. Think about the three ruffians. The first guy, he came up, he's your best friend. Second one, he's a little bit more. Third guy kills him. Why? Because he was a hothead and he lost shit. Right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be vague here. But you get what I'm saying, right? If you really think about it in terms of the way that each one of those got bad guys, if you will, in the ritual.
Yeah.
You know, the way they act. It's Jim Devaney, GG. Gangrene. But if you think about it in terms of the way they act, I mean, they all ultimately did it. But the last guy, who was the most emboldened and the most passionate, if you will,
didn't subdue his passions,
and he was ultimately the fall guy. Yeah. And you got the other two assholes killed.
That's your Ed over there.
And I believe there's a line too. What have we done?
Right, what have we done? So you think about, they thought about what they did after the fact. Mm-hmm. And that is the worst thing to do, is I've said it before, I hate eating crow. It tastes like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want to do is have to, the last thing I'd ever have to do is want to apologize for something that I did or acted.
It's important that you do apologize, though, too.
It is important you apologize. Because
you know what, a lot of people can't apologize. And I've found that I'm someone that can't apologize, and I mean it.
Because we do make mistakes, and when we do, we should continue to be accountable.
Nobody's perfect. We don't pretend to be.
It's all about content and character, right? My life you can have, my integrity never. And that's the important, that's the lesson, you know?
Yeah. But, see, now here's the thing, though. If you subdue your passions to begin with, you don't got to worry about apologizing. Because you were the better man, you walked away.
If you don't slip to begin with, you
know. No one's perfect, man. Even Jesus Christ flipped tables and beat bitches with bull whips. You know,
he did flip tables.
He did flip tables. Yeah, he was a table flipper.
That's in there.
Alex, you know? I'm commissioning you for another artwork.
I want Jesus flipping tables at the temple. Right? That's what they get for gambling in the synagogue.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, should know better.
I think we should make a clip of that, like a video clip of Jesus walking and flipping a table going, what the fuck?
No, we can't do that.
I wonder if he felt bad after, you know?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. He did.
But that's the lesson, man. Even God incarnate.
Yep. Alex DeFranzo, got you, brother. Oh, this gets better and better. I mean,
our own personal AI image generator, Alex DeFranzo.
He's the best, man.
He really is.
You got to see some of the shit he could do. I love feeding him crazy ideas and just watching him take off.
And then giving him some like charcoal and some paper.
And then I'll just tattoo myself while he's occupied. And he's like, what are you doing, man? What are you
doing? So what's positive impact? Another positive impact that you've had.
I think you make lifelong friendships, you know? I know you make lifelong friendships with people you might not have ever interacted with or had the chance to meet outside of a lodge. I think that, you know, I think fundamentally all Masons, we're all men and we all want the same things out of life to a certain degree.
Right.
And, I think that's always been important, you know, and everybody loves the history, and you read that, especially like during war times, a lot of the time ceasefires were kind of negotiated. It's because they had two Masons from the different
Civil War.
Armies go meet.
Yep.
Civil War, World War One, World War II, and it's because there's that common platform where it's like, okay, is nothing sacred, or am I not going to shoot this guy in the belly like a dirt bag when we're, you know, we're trying to have a peace talk? And that's, you don't get that in a lot of places.
I
mean,
I think I remember there was a grand lecturer. He was in Virginia, came to Morningstar Lodge, and he was talking about a story where they actually took Southern prisoners out of prison and brought them to Lodge. They were Masons. Yeah. Brought them to Lodge.
I believe it.
Never heard that one.
But. Yeah, I can't. I'm gonna have to find out his name. I can't remember what his name was, but it was a. It's one of the oldest Masonic lodges, and it's in Virginia.
That sounds like something that would have happened during the Civil War.
Yeah, they took them out. They took them out of prison. They said, "Come on, let's go to Lodge." Fed them, clothed them, took care of them. You know,
it's just because they were Masons. Mutual respect. Yeah. Like, yeah, we're enemies, but you're still a man that I can respect.
Gotta
because
understand.
You have the same underlying moral.
It could be
what
me.
Is an enemy?
The shoe could be on the other foot, man. That could be me.
Yep.
Let's get real freaking deep with this. How do you make an enemy? What is the general concept of an enemy? Somebody who has an opposing
ideology and
point of view as you, right? But that doesn't, I mean, you'd be
someone who's trying to someone who's trying to destroy you. Some people just got to go. That's the unfortunate part of it.
Don't get me wrong. Listen, my line of work, if I, you listen, know.
If my it's me or you, man, I didn't make that choice.
In my line of work, I've stared evil in the face. Yeah, I've actually seen people who are generally downright evil. Evil does exist.
You understand?
100%. Mm-hmm. But the majority of people, it's just a different point of view.
Of course.
So just because you have a different point of view doesn't make you any less of a human than me. Right?
Yep.
It doesn't diminish what you are or your beliefs or anything. We just don't agree on things. You know what I mean? So there's still a human aspect of you're still a human being. You're still a mortal man, woman, whatever. Mm-hmm. We just don't agree.
And Masons get that. But there are some people whose it turns into hatred.
Correct.
Right? Your point of view is different than mine. I don't want to hear anything about it.
Right.
Because of that, I automatically hate you.
But see, this is why I like Freemasonry. It drops religion, it drops politics, and we get to know one another.
Yep.
Without all that extra bullshit.
Yeah.
Or anything that you see on the media.
It gets to the core. It
gets to the core of who the hell you are. Yep. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I think all people want the same thing, but you know, the question
people just want to be happy.
The question of an enemy is you got to be able to trust your assessment. Does this person want to destroy me or not? Mm-hmm. And whatever the motive is. You know,
but see,
you might beat me, but if I can't go home, you ain't going home either.
But
bro.
See, irregardless of that, though, if we're having an argument, I'll walk away.
Yeah. Argument's different. We're talking about war. We're talking about. Yeah.
But again, let's even look at war. What is war? It's one ideology, one government. They're doing, if you really think about it, let's put it this way, right? I'm trying to think of this in the context.
It's if it's your
piss
job.
Everybody off. Let's look at World War II. Okay, you're the American soldiers. They're following their government. I'm not talking about SS here. I'm talking about the Wehrmacht, which was the basic ground floor, rank and file army of Germany. They were just doing their job.
Yep.
Nope. But if they're
I believe
you,
that if a lot of them knew what the fuck was actually going on, they would have been like, fuck this. I mean, perfect example is the movie Valkyrie tells a whole story about this. Actually, we got into a little argument on Discord, and Joe made me clarify what I was saying. But,
that's right,
But, I mean, I was talking about, I'm not talking about the SS, the ones that were real nefarious assholes. Like, those fuckers should burn.
Yeah, like the straight-up evil.
Straight-up evil fuckers that knew what was going on, and they were doing what they were told, and they actually were like, yeah, I agree with this. I'm talking about your ground floor private in the German army.
You're
drafted.
17-year-old kid.
Not even 17. Hitler was picking 15-year-olds. This kid didn't know any better. They thought they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. They're protecting their government, right? Now they're coming up against American GIs. Like, you know, how do you, you know what I mean? Like, I do believe that being ignorant to certain things, you know, is a form of innocence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're ignorant, you don't know why you're doing it, but you're still doing it because you were told to do it, but you didn't have all the information at the time.
Would it change your decision?
Would it change your decision?
If that's your job, and if you're going to be held accountable.
Let's look at the movie Valkyrie. Not even the movie, the real people in Valkyrie, right? Mm-hmm. What was his? I can't remember this freaking name, Tom Cruise's character. But he was a German officer that was like, this guy's got to fucking go. He knew it. There was four of them. He organized a coup to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And get rid of all the Topham. Mm-hmm. He wanted to cut the whole head off. It fell through, and they ended up getting shot and killed for it. Yeah. And in Germany, right now, they are the only Germans of the 1940s to have their own monument. Mm-hmm. Because of what they tried to do and stop what they seen.
Yep.
Integrity. My point being is...
Integrity, yep. My life you can have, my integrity never.
My point being is that sometimes it's just two opposing views in war.
Yeah. Right? But that's your job, man.
Oh, of course it's your job.
And even if you don't agree with it, that other guy's going to shoot at you. So what are you supposed to do? It transcends war. It goes into street game. It goes into everything. It's even in business.
Yep.
You know, you might have a competitor in business, and you're like, well, okay, well, I got to destroy this guy's company.
Well, let's look.
He's going to lose his job. His family's going to be screwed. But you know what? He's trying to do the same shit to me.
Now, let's look at it. Let's look at that example in passion, right? I'm not going to get emotionally involved in this because I have a job to do.
Yep. There you go.
I have a job to do. I'm a Marine. I'm Army. I'm Navy. I feel the plight of these other people, but I got a job to do.
Yeah.
Masonry exactly.
And you have to shut that out. And that's kind of what Masonry talks about.
Yeah. Masonry teaches you to be.
Do your job.
Conscious of that. Yeah. Even if you have to continue to do your job.
You don't always have the opportunity to embrace the humanity. Sometimes you got to just do your job, you know, and that's part of life too.
Right.
You know, but it's important not to lose that spark of humanity. Correct. And when you do have the opportunity, and that's why I think it's so moving when you hear about stuff like even World War One, the German and the American forces were in, what the hell forest it was. They brokered a ceasefire
for Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was two Masons, and they wound up singing "Old Christmas Tree" together in their respective languages. And
came out of their trenches.
It's a beautiful story. Is there always an opportunity to do that? No, but when there is, I think that's important to understand that Masonry was an integral part of that, because that was the only common ground between those.
Right.
Besides
their
faith and the fact that it was Christmas Eve.
Right.
And, you know, they happened to be Christians. They couldn't speak the same languages, but they had two Masons, one on either side, that spoke the Masonic language. Yep. And that was enough to bring peace for one night. And, you know, one of the worst conflicts in human history. And that's an important
thing. I feel like the Masonic language is prefaced with a lot of F-bombs.
Oh, yeah.
After Lodge,
After Lodge. All right, so you got some songs.
I do have a couple songs.
Let's do it.
You ready for them?
I'm ready for them.
I'm ready.
I'll play a couple.
We had a good discussion. It's time for a little feel-good shit.
Yeah.
I was told only, well, I don't know how good they feel, but they're pretty good songs.
Let's do it.
There's emotion in them.
Yeah, that mic.
That's all right.
Yeah, we tested it out.
Yeah, we tested it. It should be all right. Yep.
I moved it a little bit.
For a change, we've tested our audio.
Yeah, if it's too close, you actually back it up. Just twist it away from you.
I think we're okay, honestly.
There you go.
I will get a little loud.
Yeah, it'll pick it up.
That's all right. That's what we have Kenny for.
You like country music, right, George?
That's what I like. Yep.
Me too.
Feel good music.
Feel good.
Because I can't listen to Drowning Pool, because next thing I know, I'm driving like a psychopath. So
you're not doing your passions.
Yeah, I'm not to do my passions. No, I'm freaking.
Time and place.
I'm in it at that point.
All right.
I'm a fan of country. Ken is.
Right, I'll show you what I've been working on. I'm working on putting an EP together.
Mm-hmm.
I've been writing for a long time, so I got a ton of songs. Mm-hmm. But I just recently got together with Dylan Conlon down at DCCF Studios. Mm-hmm. He's out of Southington, Connecticut. We're working on an EP. Cool. And I'm just going to try to get some stuff, you know, professionally recorded, get some video shot, and go from there, you know, put up a little bit more of a social media presence.
Hey, we know a guy.
And
we do know a guy.
Yeah, it's good to know people. So, you know, ultimately, I think I would like to, you know, I would really enjoy just being a songwriter, even writing for other artists. But I could do okay. You know, I'll show you what I could do and see if what people think, you know.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be a lot of things, but I can be everything you need. You could be my best friend, but instead you wanna see me bleed. And the last thing that I wanted was to ever gotta see you leave. She said, hey, baby, why are you crying? You can't hide teardrops in your sleeve. Get on back on your feet and keep on riding. Hey, baby, why are you crying? Hey, baby, why are you crying? Hey, baby, why are you crying? I'm a goddamn Yankee, every day at a hammer in hand.
Oh, I fucked up.
That's gonna happen.
It's all right.
That's gonna happen.
We're live, folks.
I'm a goddamn Yankee, I'm proud of who I am. Never held no ill will against the sweet old southern land. I ain't wanna kill no cowboy, but the man had to force my hand. I said, hey, cowboy, why are you crying?
Wish I had a light.
You can't hide the teardrops in your jeans. Get on back on your feet and keep on riding. Hey, cowboy, why are you crying? Cowboy, why are you crying? Hey, cowboy, why are you crying? I'm a God-fearing working man, every day you got a hammer in hand. Only thing that's certainty is heartache and death and taxes. Put his cross back on the mountain, 'cause we owe him everything we have. And I said, hey, good Lord, why are you crying? You can't hide your teardrops in the leaves. Get on back on your feet and keep on riding. Hey, good Lord, why are you crying? Good Lord, why are you crying? Hey, good Lord, why are you crying?
That's nice,
brother. Nice.
Yep, that was Why You're Crying. Nice. This one's called Waiting on You.
First off, I just want to say, number one, you're fantastic at playing the guitar.
Yeah.
Thanks. Man.
I can't do that because I have little T-Rex arms and T-Rex claws, so my fingers. Number of
reasons. I got big fingers. It's hard to play, yeah. Screw up a little bit there, but, you know it's a dry run.
It's all right. Scotch. There's no second morning. Takes. We're live.
I screw up all the time. What are you worried about?
We're live. We're live. But, yeah, ready to go from this one. This one's called Why You Crying.
James Bong. The audio had too much trouble.
Trouble on
trouble,
the mics.
I can't
maybe.
See. In the mics.
What was that?
Might want to turn it down a little.
Swing
bit.
It out a little bit.
All right. Yeah. How about this, James Bong? A little better. Still burning, no, we ain't deserve it. Learning how to get by without you. My heart is breaking, my feet are still shaking. Thinking, how can I love without you? Maybe it's time you couldn't stay mine. Still on my mind, and I'm lost without you. Never regret the
I was doing. All I'm doing, I'm doing for you. Flower was blooming and I was too foolish. Too much water, I gave it too soon. Maybe it's time you couldn't stay mine. Still on my mind and I'm lost without you. I'll never regret the day that we met. Don't ever forget that I'm waiting on you. Waiting on you. Waiting on you. I'm waiting on you.
You like that one?
That's awesome. You know what's? It's so weird. Like, you know, what happens to like you as a person? Like when you listen to something live, you know what I mean? It's just different than listening to shit in the radio.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. 100%. I love my Breaking Benjamin follow, but you know what I mean? Like
his YouTube videos are really good too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. It's just
they're rough. They're just recorded on the phone, but man. Live is the best, man.
I don't know how good the audio quality is going to be. Shit live. Unfortunately, our equipment here is set up for voice and not so much for music. So hopefully, it came out.
It sounded
really good in the monitors. We'll see.
Yeah, I was sounding out there. Was the
was that one better?
The audio had too much treble on the mics.
Treble, yeah. So that was the previous.
That was that one.
Then you adjusted.
Feedback from the audience. Did that come out clear? I know I was probably singing too loud for the.
Nah, you're good.
All right, well, one more.
Yeah. I mean, shit. A couple episodes ago, we left the freaking mic off and forgot about it.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. At least we did a sound check this time.
The mic is a little bit shoddy.
All right.
It's got to be probably backed up just a little bit more. Because
I swung it out a little.
The other thing is, too, we should probably shut our mics off, Ken, because...
Because
you got one more, right, Joe?
Fire and mic was a little shoddy. All right,
yeah, we'll shut our mics off, and then we should sound better.
Going dark.
Is that what it is?
It might be our mics picking up what you're saying, too.
Three of them bouncing
off one. Yeah. Did you kill your...
It's a learning curve.
I killed mine, so you can't hear me no more.
Said I'm honest till I ain't, cause a certain type of damage can't cover up a pain. Am I moving my mistakes? Do I keep on moving forward or sit around and wait? Cause if you ain't coming back, won't steal this fucking train and I ride it off the tracks. When they tell me to relax, figure I might do me something that I'm never taking back. Some people want to feel, some people want to kill it with a bottle and a meal. Some people want to love, some people want to go and know they really had enough. Some people want to cry, some people get to laughing for a moment when they die. Some people want to know, some people never will even when you're going sure.
said I love you till I don't. Cause you gave your ass the world and you left me in the cold. We was lighting up a smoke. We was freezing in the rain, I was giving you my coat. Can you tell me that he loved? I've been fighting this hell just to take your ass above. Never tell me to relax. You can keep my fucking heart and I don't ever want it back. Some people wanna feel, some people wanna kill it with a bottle and a meal. Some people wanna love, some people wanna go and know they really had enough. Some people wanna cry, some people get to laugh and for a moment when they die. Some people wanna know, some people never will, even when you go and show.
You gotta turn your mic on there, Kenny.
I know, I'm stupid. That was solid, brother.
Thank you.
I tried to drop the gain a little bit on the mic. Maybe it.
Yeah. Maybe it I'm sure that helped.
Well,
there we go. I
guess unfortunately, we're working with a soundboard that's got the gain, at whatever it is, and then you gotta do it manually. So it's
so
like,
at some
point, we're playing with stuff. But
yeah, so I did that, Joe. I went and like dropped the gain a little bit. What I'll probably end up doing at some point.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you.
Well done, brother Joe.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Vivat.
That was nice. Nice little feel good.
Yeah.
Before we close out,
it's good to have music on the show
every once in a while. Yeah.
Original
shit, too.
Original music so that we don't get copyright banned, yes.
All original, yep.
That's awesome. Great tunes. Great.
James Devaney. Audio was much better, but Joe is on fire.
Oh, yes, he is.
Thank you, James.
He's always on fire.
Appreciate it.
But you're not reflecting it.
Yeah.
Actually, I should hold my hands up like this. Cause
God damn it. Look, summer is coming. I'm going to get some color.
So you're like a fireplace insert. That's what I'm...
This is a good episode. So we talked about subduing our passions. And sometimes you need to have those passions.
Yeah.
Like when you are...
Proper application.
I mean, the flip side of it, too, is you with music. Your music is also an out, right? Everybody listens to music, right? You listen to music, it's a form... It's an art form of an... Of an out, right?
Yeah.
If you're feeling depressed, you put on songs that there's two ways to go. You can either put in the mood that you're feeling currently. What is that noise?
That's probably the leather.
Okay.
Creaky leather in this room.
Freaky leather.
Yeah. Like if you're depressed, maybe you want to just stay in that. So you want to listen to some depressing shit, right? Or maybe you want to come out of it, right? You want to come out of that depression. You want to stop feeling bad, like me. I like country music because, again, my job is tough, right? I deal with a lot of assholes, we'll say.
Dirt bags,
shit bags. Some people are just fucked up and, they did something wrong. And But some of them are true-to-life shit bags, right? So my job is tough, right? So on my way home, I like listening to country. Why? Because that country music takes me down from being up here, right? You leave work and you're fucking tweaked about something, something pissed you off. You read paperwork about what somebody did, and you want to come down off it. So country music is perfect for me because it takes me from up here and it brings me down lower. You know what I mean? And then there's sometimes I need some morning motivation and it happens to be Drowning Pool. I don't know what to fucking tell you. It's just how it happens. And I let the bodies hit the floor.
I'll play you one more. It's the most country song I've written.
All right.
It's called I Broke My Fucking Hand Again.
Oh, I like
this. It's like Toby Keith's shitty golfer.
I do box, and I broke my hand a lot. I broke my hand recently. It's better now. I broke my ribs recently.
Yeah, it busted.
Yeah, I broke my ribs about a month ago. A month and like a couple days boxing.
I don't know how you're still walking around.
Now I'm not walking. I recorded like 10 songs with broken ribs. I fought a big fucker. He's a really good guy, dude. He's us. He's fucking 6'8", 380. And I'm just a little too heavy to not get out of heavyweight, so I sparred him, and I broke a couple ribs, and
that's
part of the game.
All right.
But I do break my hand probably more than most people, and I wrote this song called I Broke My Fucking Hand Again.
All right. Let's go.
Broke my fucking hand again. I'm always fighting for a friend. Some folks ain't ever gonna bend. And my
held her hand and said, I broke my fucking hand again. Said, I'm sorry, I still love you. Said, I'm drinking on my own. She gets louder than my guns do. I can't leave them both alone. She broke my fucking heart again. Said she would always be a friend. And right until the bitter end, left me on my own again. She broke my fucking heart again. Said I'm sorry, I still love you. Said I'm drinking on my own. She gets louder than my guns do. And I can't leave them both alone. I broke my fucking hand again. I'm always swinging for the fence. And you can call the president. And my hello heaven said she broke my fucking heart again. I broke my fucking hand again. I'm always fighting for a friend. Some folks ain't never gonna bend. And my hello heaven said I broke my fucking hand again.
That was for you, George.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
I'm glad you liked it.
That was great. You know, the funny thing is, like, you can relate to so much shit, though. Like, you know what I mean? You can relate to, like, certain songs. Like,
that's the point of music. You know, they told me that's going to be my first single. I was like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's probably not the best.
But maybe it is the best idea, you know?
You know, those songs that you can actually relate to are the best ones. Like, you know, not that I've ever broken my fucking hand, on getting pissed off or whatever, but I mean, no. I might have bruised a couple knuckles from time to time, but
yeah.
Trying to subdue them passions, you know?
Yep.
Fucking woman will do that to you.
Very nice. James Bong. Bong, James Bong. That is one of the funniest freaking games.
You got some fans out there.
Endicott, New York. I know Endicott. Yo, I used to go to your Little Italy all the time. I went to school in Binghamton, New York.
No kidding.
And when shit got hot in Binghamton, I would slip off to Endicott and go to Joey's and have dinner and then stay there for a couple hours. Yeah.
Nice.
Big shout out to Endicott, New York.
That's awesome. Yep. Anyway, Kenny, what do you say?
This was fun.
This was a lot of fun.
We gotta bring music into the podcast more frequently, I think.
We're going to have you sing next time.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have Ken sing.
I appreciate it.
I am not a singer.
You're going to sing.
No.
Sarah McLachlan.
No.
Arms of an
Angel. A couple of these guys in this lodge have seen me sing at like karaoke once or twice.
When we sing the national anthem of this lodge, it's badass. We get a room full of like
actually,
50 men
yeah,
and we
yeah.
have, somehow we harmonize. It's pretty moving.
Yeah. And that lodge room's got good acoustics.
It's got great acoustics.
And there's always that one Mason who's got the really good voice who freaking like.
Yeah, this
everybody.
Guy over here. I just dropped the volume of my voice so that it sounds better. Overall,
the worst is when you do it like sing the national anthem in a lodge full of like a small lodge with not a lot of people, and then you're like,
everyone's kind of humming.
He's got to hum it because you don't want to be the one that's the loudest.
You'll see, it sounds good in this lodge.
Yeah,
we do a pretty good
job. I had my investigation here to the other day, went pretty well.
Oh, good,
all right.
Yeah. Howell's like, why do you think you'd be a good fit? Because I said, I'm batshit crazy. No, I didn't say that.
Tell him.
Yeah, he'd be fine with that. He'd be like, yep, okay, check.
He's like, this is a formality. So that's pretty much it. So, but I think it went very well.
Good.
Yep. So,
we'll see how the vote goes.
I'll be, it's going to be you. You're going to be the black ball, you fucker.
No,
it's good to have you. Yeah. When are you guys going to merge? I keep saying that. We got all your all-stars. When's the rest of the... When's the rest of the lodge coming?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm going to leave that one well enough alone.
Yeah.
But anyway, what do you say, boys?
Yeah, this was good.
This was great. Little... Thank you for having me.
Of course.
It.
Anytime, man.
Always,
you know,
brother.
You're more than welcome.
Always.
All right. So for the Freemasons podcast, when's the vote? Oh, no. No, 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 no. I'm not telling you
the
shit,
one time this guy comes to lodge is during... Jim Devaney's a member of Harmony.
Yeah, no, I ain't disclosing that
Harmony's
shit.
Strong.
Yeah,
you could ask one of the Harmony members.
Yeah, Call me later, Jim. You got my number.
Fuck you! All right, for the Freemasons podcast, I'm Ray Worship Brother George Marjorie signing off.
Worship Brother Ken signing off.
Worship Brother Joe Pisani signing off.
All right, have a good night, everyone.
Enjoy, my friends.
This should be. I broke my balls again.
I broke my balls again.
I can't see the screen to shut off the feed, Joe.
Up, up, up!